We stand before you that God will just be with us in the service, the rest of the service, in the message that goes out, and especially if we would have lost in our midst this morning, for you to pay attention to what the Word of God says unto you. And for those of you that are saved, that it's a time of reflection for us to go back and remember all that God has done for us, and for what He is doing, and for what He's going to do. Because God is not done yet. He is still working this morning. So in the book of John, in the first chapter, go down to the latter part of this chapter. I guess it's the middle part. And we'll start reading at verse 29 down through and including verse 34. Verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode above him, or upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Amen. Stop reading there with verse 34. And today I'd like to bring to you a message. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. John was the precursor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was the one that came preaching out of the wilderness. And sometimes the Bible teaches us that he was questioned, Art thou the Christ that should come? And John had a very simple explanation when they would ask him that. And he would say, as he did in verse 27, He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latches I am not worthy to unloose. John made it very clear, I am just preaching to you a message about the Lamb of God, which is to come. John had a revelation, if I can put it like that. Revelation means it's a revealing. It's where God gives you insight to something that others have not been privy unto. Much like Mary, when she was told by the angel that she was going to bring forth a son. That was a revelation unto her. And what a shock it must have been at the same time. John the Revelator, or John the Baptist, I should say, he come preaching, prepare you the way. And Charlie, he baptized with water unto repentance. That those that would proclaim the name of God, he would take them down to the River Jordan and they would be baptized there. But John was given some military term, intel from the Holy Spirit. He that spoke to me and told me to baptize said that I would know the Christ when he would come because the Spirit of God would descend upon him and dwell there. You remember Jesus come there to be baptized of John. And John said, forbid it. Forbid it. You don't have need to be baptized of me, but rather I have need to be baptized of you. John knew his place and knew he only baptized with water. But he said, there's coming one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. How many of you got the Holy Ghost this morning? Hallelujah. You got the Holy Ghost down on the inside. Got the fire that's there that burns. No wonder the prophet said I was going to quit. But when I was about to quit, his word was like fire shut up in my bones. See, John the Baptist had been told that there was coming a lamb like no other lamb had ever walked upon this earth. A lamb that was without blemish and spot, as he says in 1 Peter, the first chapter in the 19th verse. That this lamb was not just any lamb, but it was God's lamb. The one that was chosen before the world ever was to pay the sin debt for you and for I. Throughout the history of the Old Testament, it was a lamb that was offered up for the sin of mankind. Mainly the lamb. There were other animals that was offered up, but nothing like the lamb that was offered up at Calvary. Charles Spurgeon, some of you have read or heard of his name, a great preacher, great man of God, from years gone by. He wrote it down like this, that when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," that he spoke more in that one sentence than could be said about all the other lambs that had died in the history of animals being offered up as sacrifices for mankind's sin. More so than the firstling of the flock that Abel offered up. More so than Noah's sacrifice after the rains stopped and the floods descended. The first thing Noah did was they went out and they built an altar and they offered up a sacrifice unto God. More so than the sacrifices of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. More so than even when the lamb of the Paschal Supper. Some of you say, what does that mean? You remember before the children of Israel left Egypt, there was one last cry that came. The Lord said to take a lamb, if a house be too small for a lamb, get with your neighbor and take a lamb and kill it. And take its blood and put it upon the two side posts and above the lintel of your house. And when I pass through the land with death, I will pass over your household. You say, that's awful significant for John to say, or for Charles Spurgeon to say that that was the Lamb of God was more valuable than all the lambs that was offered up during the time of Passover. Think of the thousands of homes that was saved because they took that lamb and sacrificed it and put the blood on the two side posts and the lintel. And let's go beyond the thousands. Let's say the millions, because it is estimated that when the children of Israel came out from underneath bondage, there was 2.5 to 3 million of them that left Egypt. It's a miracle. When you consider the small number that went in and all this great number that came out. How could John say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," is more important, or Charles Spurgeon say, is more important than all the other lambs? The 2.5 to 3 million that was saved back then is nothing compared to the millions and the millions and millions that have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm taking my time this morning, Ronnie and Terry. I've been up since 10 minutes after 4. And I've had church about 3 times already this morning. Isn't it something when you can be at home and still feel the presence of God come down? More than all the lambs of the great festivals that was offered up to pay atonement. See, every time you sinned, you had to go get a lamb and take it to the high priest and it'd be offered up. Some of us today, we'd have to get a whole flock. Amen. To pay for our past sins and for our present sins. It'd be more than the thousands of lambs that was offered up by David or Solomon. More powerful than that. Or all the other sin offerings that was offered up. What he was saying is that all the other lambs were like shadows that was pointing their finger forward to the Lamb of God that would be the last lamb to ever be offered up as a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. You see, Jesus was the perfect lamb without blemish and spot. If you go to Malachi, the 1st chapter, you'll read there that God cut off the acceptance of lambs and other animals being offered up because people was offering up lambs that were not perfect. They had blemishes, they had spots on them, and they would bring them and offer them up. And God said, I will not accept that as an atonement for your sins. But I heard from the book of Revelations, God knew that day would come. And God made such a plan in eternity past to take care of your sins and mine and all generations that would just believe upon his Son, Jesus Christ. In that it said, in the 5th chapter in verses 4 and 5, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. In eternity past, God had already made a plan for the perfect lamb to come and pay the final sin debt for your sins and for mine. He made it so that it would not be like in the Old Testament, Brother Eli, that their sins was just laid over from one year to the next. But he made it so that our sins is forever. Hallelujah. Our sins are forever forgiven by God, separated as far as the east is from the west. And this ought to make a Baptist church want to rejoice on a Sunday morning, never to be remembered again. You say, but some folks still remember them. God don't. And it don't matter what folks say. At the end of the day, what matters is what God says. Amen. More so than the lamb that was there. And I thought about your grandpa when God laid this on my heart. When Isaac was with his dad, Abraham, and they went up that mountain. Isaac said, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham responded, God will provide himself a lamb. And John is standing there saying, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What Abraham saw was pointing forward to God saying, I'll take my son, my only son, and I'll offer him up as a sacrifice for all of your sins so that your sins can be marked, paid in full, never to be brought up again. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I praise him today that he is able to take away the sin of the world. But Brother Billy, I praise him more because I know that he forgave me of my sin personally. My name's been found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm forever a citizen of that new country that John saw coming down out of heaven. I'm forever, my name is there, and there's not enough devils in hell to take my name off of that great book. Then my mind went when they said, behold, the Lamb. Could you imagine Mary and Joseph, wherever they went, everywhere they went? No doubt, Lisa, when they would go in, they would say unto them, or they could have said unto them, behold, the Lamb of God. You just got to bear with me this morning. If you don't see it at first, maybe God will get to something in my message that will open up to you. But Mary, knowing when she looked, Rachel sings that song, he has his father's eyes. Every time she looked at him, she knew. She may have given birth to him, but it was God's Lamb that she had delivered. And when she looked at him, no doubt she would say, behold, the Lamb of God. Or when they went there in the temple, in the second chapter of the book of Luke, and Simeon was there, he'd been looking for the Messiah to come. But on this day in the temple, there was a mother and child that walked in that was unlike any other mother and child that had come in for the dedication of their children according to the law. And Simeon, when he beheld the Lamb of God, he said loudly as he took that babe up in his arms, Brother Ron, he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Anna had a similar cry, did she not? The prophetess. You say, be careful, Roger. We're in the Baptist church. The Bible calls her what she is. Amen. Or, as he lived his life and he come and everywhere he went, no doubt some would look at him that were believers and say, behold. You know what that word behold means? It means to look. Look. If I could put emphasis on it this morning, it would mean to stop and look. Look at who is before you. And sometimes, church, we need to stop and look at who is ministering in the midst of our congregation. You say, it was the singers or it was the preacher. There's somebody greater than us here this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his holy name. Lived a life that was perfect. And even as they crucified him, there were those in Matthew 28 chapter that walked past the cross where he was at and said, if thou be the Son of God, deliver yourself. If you're who you said you was, come down from that cross. But he stayed there for you and for me. When he cried out, Father, forgive them, it was you and I that he was praying for. Those that walked by, but listen, there was one that walked by The Bible says he was a centurion. Brother Ray, he walked past the cross when they saw heard the thunderings and they saw the lightnings and the earth that shook, the darkness that came upon it. He said, surely this was the Son of God. He beheld him that day like he had never seen him before. He was the Lamb. Can I put it like this? When he laid down on the ground for them to nail him to the cross, he was the Lamb of God. But when he arose on the third and appointed day, he no longer is a lamb, but he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. That makes propitiation for you and I, and is able to make a way that we could go from earth all the way to glory, because we beheld the Lamb of God. In the book of Acts, in the first chapter, there was those that was there, and they was gazing into the heavens. 40 days had passed. Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem until they be endued with on high with that great power. He told them they would receive the Holy Ghost. And there were some men that was standing there gazing because the Lord was ascending into heaven. And they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus whom you see ascending is coming back in like manner." Oh, some of you need to get the water off your wood, because that's powerful today. That's powerful. And he's told us today, that the Lord, in the book of Revelations as well, in the first chapter, in the seventh verse, we've not seen the last of him yet, Sister Checky. Oh, listen at this. John the Revelator said it like this: we shall see him coming in the clouds of glory. If it were possible, I just had a spell this morning thinking about this. If it was possible and the graves burst open and we were able to stand there for just a moment and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." He told us he could be back. Oh, and here he comes in the clouds of glory. I believe we would have a hallelujah shouting time in the graveyard before we ever get to heaven. The gravestones would roll back and God's people would come forth. And maybe somebody would say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And we would say, "Amen and amen and amen." You know, there'll be no doubters on that day. No doubters whatsoever. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. How many of you know you've already confessed? Amen. How many of you found him at an altar of prayer where you got down on your knees? And I've gotten ahead of myself, but if you read the some of the scripture that we read here before you today, and I'm trying to find the right one. In verse 33, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But in verse 33, he's saying, "And I knew him not." I knew him not until I saw that Spirit descending and remaining on him. That's when I knew he was the Lamb of God. Can I ask you a question this morning? When did you know he was the Lamb of God? When did you know? And I pause for a moment, because not everybody sees him as the Lamb of God. Even John, as he was baptizing, they asked him, "By what authority are you baptizing? Are you Isaiah's Are you the prophet that should come? John said, oh, no, I'm not he. But let me tell you about he that is coming. Could you imagine being there in that river valley on that day? I don't know, brother, sisters, today. I've seen pictures of the River Jordan, and there's on one side it's a plain, and then on the other side you could have mountains, the mountainous terrain, and it depends on where you're looking at the river. But I believe with all my heart, Jesus came walking in on the same level as they were. See, if he had been standing on a mountainside, they could have saw him and they would have said, there he comes. But when he come walking in amongst them, and John said, oh, wait a minute. There's somebody in the midst I want to introduce you to. Can I introduce you to somebody this morning if you don't know him? How could it be that John said, I don't know him? Did John not have an introduction when he was still in his mother's womb? We say, yes, but God gave it to me like this. The only introduction he had was the word that the Messiah was in Mary's womb. He did not see him. He did not know him. But on this day, God unveiled, this is my son. This is my son. Didn't come out of heaven with a loud word. It was just the Spirit of God descending. And it rested over him. What do we got up here? We got a dove. The dove is a symbol of that Holy Spirit that resided over the Lord. We got that there to remind us that God's Spirit not only dwells over us when we're baptized, but it dwells over us when we're baptized. Amen. Because before you can get baptized with the water, you need to be baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost. And I've said it backwards most of my life. The scripture actually says it's the Holy Ghost and fire. But I want to make an introduction to you today. But first I want to elaborate on some of my brothers and sisters here this morning. That you, like John, had an introduction to Jesus Christ. To where you could say, behold the Lamb of God, which took away my sin. Sometimes we sing a song here at the church. It was on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday. How many of you know what day of the week it was you got saved? And I ask that because for many years I didn't know the exact day. But you know what? That's not going to keep me out of heaven. Amen. We've had some in our midst and that have given their hearts to the Lord. And I should say, people that joined the church. And they before they joined the church, they got saved. Some of them got saved at home. Brother Wally. Brother Harold. They got saved at home, and because of their illnesses, they could not make it to the church to be baptized in the water. But I believe with all my heart, they're in heaven as much as anyone that has been baptized in the water. Because it's not the water that brings baptism. It's the Holy Spirit that comes in and saves our dying souls. But regardless what day it was for you and I, you know how we got saved? A preacher. I didn't say singers. And singers, though, I love y'all with all my heart. But the Bible says that believing comes through and by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Singers and prayer warriors that get the ground ready for the plow to be sunk to the beams. A preacher preached a message about Jesus, about his life, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. And somewhere in the midst of that service, we all lost sight of what was being said from the pulpit. And we saw somebody that we had never seen before. We saw not a Jesus on a cross. We saw not a Jesus standing outside of the empty tomb. But we saw a risen Savior that ascended back to the Father to make intercession for you and I, that when we see Him and when you see Him, you can call upon Him for forgiveness of your sins. And I just get a witness this morning. Is it not the best thing that ever happened to you in your life? When the Lord showed up in the midst of the church service and you saw Him like you'd never seen Him before. Get a song of invitation while I finish this morning. Could you imagine this? John may have passed him in days previous. I mean, God allows our minds. We have some liberty. He may have walked right by him. Why didn't he know him then? Because God had given John a sign. You'll know him because the Spirit will come down, descend upon him, and it will stay upon him. And you'll know that he is the Christ, the one to come. Folks, it's not the church that saves you. It's not the preacher that saves you or the singers that saves you. But it's Mary's precious little lamb. Oh, blessed be his name. His fleece was white as snow. You say, Roger, that's a child story. How do we know it didn't come from the Word of God? It aligns right with it, does it not? He not only was the Savior of the world, but He is still the Savior of the world. We've got some folks with us this morning that some of you may have been saved. Anybody been saved for 50 years or more? Yeah, they're saying. Anybody been saved for 60 years or more? Yeah. I declare to you that once He saved, thousands of years ago, are just as saved today as they was on the day that God moved into their heart. And the same God that saved them is the same one that saved me and saved you. And is the same God that will save you that are lost this morning if you'll just believe upon Him. Not everyone believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There were places He went that He wanted to do great miracles and could not because people would not believe upon Him. Does anybody in the house need a miracle in your life? You need God to move on your part. Circumstances, events, things that's going on. You say, I know God can save me, but I'm not so sure about that other stuff. There is nothing that we face in life that the Lamb of God cannot bring us through it. Take care of us and help us. But while we stand, they sing a verse of a song. Today, you've been introduced to the Lamb of God, which taketh away your sin if you will just believe upon Him. No other name among men given whereby you shall be saved except through and by the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only one Again, it's not the church name. It's not the... And I say this because... I'm going to rub some feelings real close here. Does it matter if you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of God, or Holiness? Sometimes Becky will ask me what I want to hear, and I'll say, put on my Pentecostal sisters. Now, we don't all believe the same on every dot and tittle of the book, but we do believe in this. Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you want to be saved, you need to call upon Him while He's here this morning. Would you do that while they sing a verse of a song? Call upon the Lord. You need to be saved this morning. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to know that everything is good between you and God. Would you call upon Him this morning and ask Him for forgiveness? Just ask, and God will come to where you're at. Just ask Him this morning. Yes, while you pray, church, ask the Lord to come in, and He'll save you. Mama, Dad, that Grandma, Grandpa, the same God that saved you cares about you. And your troubles are His troubles. He'll help you with them if you'll just lean upon Him. Yes, Jesus can help you. Amen and amen. Behold the Lamb of God. How many of you see Him often? You say, Roger, you can't see Him. He's in heaven. He's right here with me. And you know, us growing up, how many of you remember in churches where they'd have a picture of Christ standing at the door knocking? Yeah, some of us remember those pictures, right? We got that image of that's what Christ looks like. Can I tell you that's probably as far from the truth as it is can be? You say, oh Lord, our pastor's fallen off the wagon. But they say, you know, many debates, is he black, is he white? More than likely he's a dark skin. But that was just a human representation, right? It'd been funny if being in a Mideastern country, if Mary and Joseph had a white boy, would it not? But you see, we don't know what Christ looks like. And we won't know until we get to heaven. And people say, well, when we get there, somebody will have to introduce me to Him. You'll know Him when you walk in the door. Amen. God bless you today. I hope you've enjoyed being in the house of the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to be able to look and see the Lord. And you know, you can see God move in the midst of people's lives, in their hearts. You can see it in a church service. Sharon sitting up here behind the piano, just barely see her head nodding every once in a while behind the piano. But I knew this morning she was seeing the same person I was seeing. Amen. God bless you. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. And then following our service is our monthly business meeting. So come back tonight. Looking forward to a good time in the house of God tonight, followed by our business meeting. And we need every one of you to come back and be with us. If you're able, come on out tonight, and we'll pick up where we left off on this Sunday morning. God bless you today is our prayer.